welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we interview and talk to co-founders, founders, executives that are all out there scaling up themselves, and we get their insights as to how they do that, and also not only how they scale up themselves, but obviously also how they scale up their businesses. And today, super stoked to welcome a couple of co-founders from Healthy Virtuoso, right out of Milan. Andrea and Nicola are coming on the show today. Super stoked to have the guys here. They've had a very interesting background, very interesting journey. So we're going to jump right into that. And yeah, let's kick it off, right? So guys, welcome first. Really, really awesome to have you on the show. And before we go into your journey, I think it's as we head towards sort of 2022, I'd like to get a bit of insight from you guys as to what you see the picture looking like in 2022. What sort of interests both of you right now? Maybe Nicola, we can start with you, and Andrea, we can then move on to you.
Okay. Hi, Richard. We are very pleased to be here. And actually, our idea for the 2022, it's quite complicated because the last year we've been through a pandemic situation. So actually our company has been boosted by this pandemic situation because people were far and we are very good to unite them and to keep them together with our company. So our journey that we are going to make in the next year and both in the next month is mainly focused to the sharing of the content with people. Okay. So we are implementing in our platform every tool that helps people to feel closer to other people. And we are trying to help them to share whatever they can. And we think that the world, like the flow and the wave of the next year and both of the next 10 years is like people need to feel closer, need to share whatever they want. And that's mainly what we're aiming to do for the 2022.
Andrea, what about you? What are you
doing? First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Also for me, I agree with Nicola. Like the world has changed for us, has changed for everyone. It's been very challenging 2021, gave us a lot of sickness and a lot of good pleasure, a lot to learn. 2022 is a big challenge because from one side, we are pushing hard to make things growing and establish and like to reach new goals at the horizon. But at the same time, it's very difficult to predict too much because like the situation is not stabilized yet. So like we don't know what's gonna happen, but so far what we learn is that from the worst moment that you face, you can learn the best, and this makes you stronger. I think it's easy to say, but we see it as an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. I mean, I think there is opportunity, and over the next few weeks, I'm going to be definitely into Q1 next year. I'm actually releasing a book called The Mastermind of Scaling Techniques for 2022. And we really go into detail. We've done this on purpose. We go into detail and look at how businesses can thrive in the new digital marketplace, because that's where we are right now. Pandemic aside and all that stuff, I think the pandemic has sort of accelerated us forward, but it is very much a digital marketplace that we are going to be playing in, whether it's a hybrid model or slightly or fully digital. You have to be aware of this ecosystem and how your business can and should operate in it. And I mean, Nicola, you mentioned that you had a pretty good year this year because of some maybe the digitization that's taken place. How do you see this moving forward, the digital ecosystem, the digital marketplace, specifically from maybe your point of view and your company's point of view going forward?
Actually, what we think is that I'm not the tech guy in this company. Andrea is the tech guy. So I have a completely different background. So I came from finance. I come from finance.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Basically, I'm just the counselor in tech in this company. And then
But here's the thing, right? Sorry to interrupt, but I get that there's a tech. When we talk digital, generally we think product or something like that, or an app or something. But there's also more to it, right? There's Zoom calls. How does a new company or a growing company, how do they make certain that they have a sales process that also allows them to get onto a Zoom call and sell over Zoom?
Yeah,
that's a must, right?
That's one. Talking also with our business development manager, We've understood that the pandemic situation, and especially what you've said, so that especially with Zoom, We see that the productivity, it's boosted by the pandemic situation, not only in terms of companies that have a business model that help the people to in this kind of pandemic. But imagine, like before, we can do like 4 appointments per day to close a deal. Now with Zoom, we can do like 10, 15 calls per day. And now it's used by people. Like before, imagine before you have to close a deal and you ask to people, like, we meet on a Zoom call. They're going to say, no, you should come here. You should meet us. You should play your cards, okay? But now actually it's much more productive, while the digital market is helping like the productivity so much. And this like has a good side, but both has also a terrific side, because there are no hours anymore. You can call and you can work at whatever time during the day. So that's difficult. You don't have like more any kind of stopping in working and in producing what you have to do. So I think that the next year, maybe the balance should be get back like when it was before, because it's going too fast. Everything is going very, very fast. And thanks to the digital, and thanks also to this situation.
Imagine, Richard, that before COVID, in November, we were able to speak with 4 or 5 companies, new companies. I mean, we were much younger, of course. This year, just by the office and Zoom, we met more than 690 corporates willing to know more about LT Virtuoso, contacting us, getting in touch, and we signed up more than 50 corporates in Italy and abroad. I think it wouldn't be possible without the digitalization. But at the same time, I think that it's not a matter of physical or digital, but it's the ability of entrepreneur to understand how the scenario has changed and how they must change their behavior, their strategy, and their ability to take the best out of the world, out of the changes before the others.
And One thing to add, Richard, I think that it's very important. It's like a shifting way of thinking that we had. Like, we were always thinking, like, everyone tried to have an idea that it's going to change something in the next 10 years, okay? I think that the way of trying to understand which is a good business model and which is a good business in to invest, it's what is not going to change in the next 10 years, basically, and not what is changing. Because like our business model, we are very confident and very sure that in the next 10 years is boosting and it's implementing and it's going faster and it's going to be like more structural in the companies. What everything else except digital, it's going to change. So the using the idea of not is what is not going to change in 10 years, I think it's much more easy to understand and to then what is going to change in the next 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, good point. You never know what's going to change, right? You can't always plan for the future. You know, there's Brexit, pandemics, wars, all these things happen and they're sort of out of our control. So control what you can control. And I like what you were saying earlier, Andrea, make certain you have that, let's call it, for want of a better word, a business strategy and a view as to where to go. But at the same point, I like to call this in my new book, I like to call it the LCR triangle. Make certain you have very good leadership. With inside that leadership, there's very good communication, but communication not just internal, but it's also external. So people are aware of you, because if people aren't aware of you, it's going to be difficult, right? And off the back of that, you're going to be developing relationships. And all of these things, if you put those things together, that sort of leads you down the road to profits, which is where we want to get to. And I'd like to sort of go back to, you know, what you said earlier. You mentioned when you started out, you had 4 or 5 customer meetings, you know, in the year or in the first few months. And then that sort of exploded this past year to 600 odd. As a part of that, was a part of that the brand? Was a part of that the communication that was going out? What exactly transpired for that sort of quite significant explosion to take place?
Of course, the brand grew, but I mean, we're not Nike, so we don't think it's the one that impacted that much.
We love to be, actually.
We love to be, but
everyone wants to be Nike.
We're not Nike yet.
We love the Vush, but actually we don't have it.
But we have changed our strategy. So we stopped selling. We started creating interest of people. We started doing it at scale, and we focused then more than reaching one-to-one as we were doing and trying to convince everyone how cool it was, like started listening to people. So like our behavior completely changed because like we work a lot in the corporate. So we help a lot of corporates boosting the engagement of employees and their well-being. And what we change, like they have problems. HR managers are solving problems, for example, that they don't know. They don't know, like there are news for them as well. So what we have done is like start listening to them and trying to understand by using our knowledge, our technology, our experience, our network, how we could help them. And this was game changer because like, you know, I think in all books you find that if you listen more than you speak, you succeed. But at the end, practicing it, it's a work. It's very tough and like this paid us a lot. And then like we use the tools that we have to amplify our potential. Like when I was working for an insurance company, I was putting all of my efforts, but I had a limit. When I moved in when we moved into the entrepreneurial way, we figured out that being smart, we could do 10 times more than what we were doing before. And as well, do the job that you need to do aside, like accounting and everything else. And it's incredible.
I think that the what Andrea said, it's really the great trigger that has helped us to move forward. Because like I remember, we started in 2017. The company was founded in 2017. And everyone was saying to us, like, be careful because like when you start with a business model in your mind, you're going to change like 10 times your business model. You're going to change 10 times your revenue streams. And we were listening to people. Then we get, when we finish the point, we get in the car, me and Andrea, we look at ourselves and we look at ourselves and we said, it's not going to happen to us. So we start with a business model. We finish with a business model that has become a unicorn and we sell it. We're going to become very, very rich and we're going to say to everybody, you were right and you were wrong. But actually they were absolutely right. So we changed everything many times. And the times that we decided to pivot was really the time that, as Andrea said, has helped us to move forward and to boost the companies and the business.
If I can tell you more about the experience we had those 4 years, we started with an idea that we still will believe it. We had to pivot because it wasn't generating revenue and to like to grow. To
cash is king, so basically.
Cash is king. We need the cash. So we went straight to something that was just a part of the approval of our process in the insurance sector. But you know that like being brave, keep pushing, finding solution, way to survive, to push, both we grow, both we learn. And now insurance companies are coming back one by one to apply what we told them 3 or 4 years ago. So maybe sometimes like you just need to be there and keep pushing, finding the way to survive, to wait for
the right. You know, Richard, the very big dream of Andrea is not to make this company a unicorn, but it's to see that the insurance companies are coming back just because he can say, I was right and they were wrong. So actually, this is what
this is the thing, right? I mean, so it's interesting you say, I mean, yeah, you got to stick it out in the market. And, you know, I can definitely sort of vouch for that. And I also like the when you say you were 1-to-1 and then you became 1-to-many. And I can also, again, vouch for that. I remember a few years ago when I started my business and it was very much 1-to-1. We're doing 1-to-1 coaching, 1-to-1 consulting. You know, it was 1-to-1. There wasn't any there's value in the delivery and the coaching sessions that I gave one-to-one, but outside in the ecosystem of the world, there was like zero value, a droplet maybe. And I was like, well, this is interesting, but I want to have a bigger impact on society in general, a bigger impact on an ecosystem that needs some change. So, you know, I decided, similar to you guys, I decided to go one to many and set up podcasts, set up YouTube channels, do different things that sort of made me get my message across, but also help people sort of scale up themselves. And week on week, now that I've been doing this for, you know, nearly 2.5 years or so, just as a podcaster, as a host of the FinTech Think Tank and other things, yeah, week on week, I get about 10 to 15 emails or DMs on LinkedIn saying, I really liked that episode. I've now been able to do X, Y, Z. Can we jump on the phone? I want to have a chat with you. Or whatever, you know, those type of things. And you think, you're making that 1% change in someone's life without even actually being there. And that's sort of the power of, I'll go back to the power of communication, but also to your point, the tenacity that it takes to really just dig your heels in and go, okay, let's try, right?
Yeah. And like it's saying, I think what brings you forward is the impact that you create. That sometimes it's not tangible, but trust me that very often we receive emails from our users or from our corporates that says, like, we received one last Saturday. A guy said, guys, thanks to your application, now I stopped my medication and I would like to donate the money that I'm saving for the development of your app. Or like a company that said, thanks to your programs, now the office of Rome that before was always hidden and was never showing up in meetings, never contributing, now is always there in first line. Like these things.
So it's big impact. Yeah.
Super exciting for us.
That's great. How does it make you feel? I mean, that must make you feel great, right? I mean, you're actually impacting someone's life and someone's well-being. I mean, that's obviously that's the company that you're in, but to get it from the coalface, I mean, that's brilliant, right?
Yeah, we showed to a huge organization, an international bank that we work with through LT Virtuoso, how their people in 444 days, so in a long term, they shift their daily behaviors from an average of 3,300 steps a day to 8,800 steps per day in average per users, thousands of people. Like, and you mean like we change people behave, and this is creating an impact on their lifestyle and as well on the society.
And as well on the productivity inside the company. So what we are communicating to the company is like, be careful not to take care about your employees, because actually when you do not take care about the employees, they are less productive. And they're less productive, I'm sorry. So this is a huge impact both on the business of the company and both on the employees of the company. So it's a thing that it's here to stay, actually. So it's also what we produce, we are very confident that it's a thing that cannot be considered anymore as a side business, you know, because like till now, a lot of companies are considering that I come from the finance sector, so I very know these things. So the employees need to produce money and they are all happy because everyone is making money. But from now on, taking care about the employees, it's a structural thing that they have to do.
And just going back again to getting that word out there, getting that message out there, you're speaking to 600 odd corporates. You know, is there like a little step-by-step process that you pull together that is easy to rattle off the tongue that at least gives folk out there listening saying, you know, these are the, you know, two or three or four things that if you really want to amplify your presence in the market, this is maybe a cheat sheet.
I think the first step is to like stop selling and start creating interest, as I said before.
Yeah.
What does it mean that we don't go out to companies and we say, hey, you must buy our service because we are the best one in the world, but we say, hey, why don't we try to solve this problem together or to make something cool together?
Yeah.
And like, you're opening a door. You're happy to listen. You're not selling them advertising.
Yeah.
The second stage is like to sit down. We explain them what we do in a few words, 1 minute, overall idea. And then we say, but please tell me more about what you are doing. Okay. And this is very important because they're giving you all the information that not only they have, but the market has, because when you speak with 600 companies, you have the knowledge of 600 HR managers in different sectors. And this helps you to take out opportunity and weakness for other companies. So you're creating a sharing of value. And these open more and more your potential customer. After that, then we go back to them and we say, hey, this is what you need. Probably this is a solution for you and maybe we can try together. And this is like boosting. Then how you can do it? There are tons of ways. Like this, Richard, it's something that not the podcast, but the one-to-one interview that we have been done on LinkedIn with HR managers and with top managers. So we basically have took their brand, their personality, their recognition on the market, and we asked them to talk about topics that were interesting for the others. This has created value for the others, but as well as enriched our credibility, our brand awareness, and it was free. So like no cost of advertising. Yeah. And imagine that for us at one point, I think in May, the cost per acquiring a customer that is valuable for like different thousands of euros just in the first years, it was 60 euro when we were doing advertising. Just
60 euros, it's like we have like a lifetime value actually of about like more than 6,000 euros. So it was an amazing KPI. What I need to say is like that you thought about step by step in contacting the companies. What has been really tough, I think, is not Andrea has a background of performance marketing. So actually he's very good to targetize the company. And this is one of the reasons that we have been contacted from 690 companies, because I'm sure that if I try to manage the performance marketing, we've reached nearly 5 or 10 companies in 2 years. So basically it's also something that derives from his skill. But what it has been tough, it's this business model, the well-being business model, it's a business model that we inherited from England and from US. Okay, so in Italy, it's really open innovation. So we can proudly say that we are working in open innovation, because it's something that you have to explain to customers, it's something that you have to let them understand it, you have to give them the time to understand what is these things. And what we see now is that nowadays, at this moment, everybody's understand what we are doing and everybody knows the market and they are trying to enter in the market. So the main tough things was to let them understand why they have to use this model and why they have to take care about their employees. But now it's quite more. I hope that it's going to be very, very easy to go upscale than before.
This conversation is like reminding me something that happened a few days ago. It's like we talk about fintech, we talk about things, because now we are talking about well-being, but I would like to take out the bridge that we have between these sectors. And like we have been contacted by a huge insurance company for to applicate. They have scouted us to applicate for their challenge to work together. And during this application, say like how we can work together, which value you think you can bring. And we wrote on this application that, the value that we could bring was to make insurance sexy again, because we just use a different approach, which is not, hey, buy my product, and if something happened to you, I'm there, because it's not something that, it's appealing for me or for you. Yeah. It's a must-have when you buy a mortgage, it's a must-have when you live in the US and you need to have an insurance. It's not something you like to have. Yeah. In this case, like the scenario that we are bringing is like to make it appetible, because you're able to propose the right things at the right person at the right time. Like it's a change of paradigm, but it's not easy to get it. Mm. After years of talking, they're arriving to it, and that's great for us.
It sounds like what you've done here is you've created a personalized brand So people are starting to understand and empathize with your, not only with your tech, but also of what your tech can give to obviously their employees, right? And we mentioned Nike earlier on, but you know, this is the same thing, right? You know, what can Nike make you do? Well, who right now is thinking of Michael Jordan? Yeah, can make you fly, right? Yeah, yeah, Nike can make you fly. It's personalized, right? You want to go out there and you want to buy it because, you know, bloody hell, man, I want to go be dunking those baskets and shooting those three pointers from outside the box, right? So what you guys are starting to do, it sounds like, is you're creating that personality. And once you start creating personality, you know, you just mentioned, you know, people start coming and wanting to talk to you. And there's a word here called demand generation. And it's that, right? You're generating demand just through the brand itself because it's so personalized.
Yeah. And if we can give our 2 cents to who is listening today, like, we are that sure that this thing is a process that you can apply to any company, that in our belief of giving back what we learned, the luck that we have, the what other people gave us, etc., we helped two organizations to change completely, like completely different kind of organization. One, it's in a textile industry, and one it's in the beverage industry, to shift their business, to understand that the only limit for them, it wasn't the country, the city, but the world. And they grew up by more than 500%
in terms of revenues.
Companies that were there already since 5 or 10 years. And it's incredible because it's just a matter of following a path in the right way. And it's, for us, it's unbelievable. It's something that to me gives pleasure, like it gives back, giving back.
Yeah, no, 100%. And what are the, I guess, as you've worked through it, you've been on this journey so for sort of 4 odd years, you know, you started off with Nicola as your marketing guru, and obviously swiftly moved on from there. But what have been some of the realities that have hit home, and you know, you think, wow, you know, I wish I had known that when we started, because I know in my journey, you know, there's been some big realities. As
almost everything, Richard. I should be almost everything. We'd love to know much more things. Like when you start, I'm sorry, have you finished your question? Because
exactly. But listen, just thinking, what are the, if you're looking back on that journey, you go, those three things that either I wish I'd known, or even maybe I wish I'd listened at a point in time, and taking that advice, it would have helped us out at that point in time.
Do you start, because I want to think about it? Like,
it's tough because for the way that I think, I don't regret anything. I mean,
never regrets.
I would have done things differently, like in terms of raising capital, because we had a lot of investors that we're very pleased of, but it's very difficult to manage a lot of investors, for example. Yeah. We started from something that was very, very difficult, because you started a business that doesn't exist and doesn't have a business model. And then you see people selling shoes without taking, like, super good, but they are doing million euros and they started the same day. They say, probably I could sell shoes. But at the end, what I see, I think we see every day, is the fact that sometimes it's tough, because you look back and you say, I could do this better, I could spend less, I could spend more. Well, you never know. But it's much more important to do things, to learn fast, to fail fast, than to avoid. To fail fast, because on something we failed, on some tasks that we have done, on some goals we failed. But we went that fast that it wasn't a problem, because we were already overcoming the problem, like we're already next. And this for me was the most important learning. And we could do everything different, but we are very pleased for what we've done, because we became rich of knowledge, I would say, thanks to what we have done wrong. Without it, we couldn't be here, I would say.
Yeah, brilliant. Anything to add there, mate?
The first thing is that when you found the startup, I'm fortunate because I don't have the social network. But when you look at the world of startup, you always look at the world of, like, let me call it the blue chip startup. So the one that are making billions of exit and billions of dividends and all that stuff. And mainly when you look at them, you say, I need to get there, because, like, if I've started, I need to get there. That's my main goal. And obviously it's still our main goal. Okay. So we love to have an impact, a positive impact in the market, but no one is working as you are working when you have a startup just for the glory. Okay. You are working also to let your company grow, because it's a huge success also personally. But the main thing that I would say is not to have, like, not to pretend that this path has to be, like, so fast. I remember one episode, and we weren't even on the market. And me and Andrea were at our first investor that we met. And I'm not going to say the name of the investor, because I think he's going to remember us very well. And we were asking a lot of money with a huge pre-money valuation, and we weren't having we weren't having the revenues. We were having, like, a piece of paper. And we went there, and this guy said, like, guys, there are startups. And Andrea stopped this guy and said, okay, but we are not anymore a startup. And, like, we weren't even on the market. So the thing, it was like, when we founded Virtuoso, we were, like, so involved in it. And we said, in 2 years, we're going to do the exit. We're going to do a lot of things. But actually, when you get involved into it, it's very, very long. It's very, very difficult. And it's a long way to the top if you want to make it. So if you understand this at the beginning, your journey is going to be much more clear, and you're going to be, like, more relaxed in facing the problems, because there are many more problems than in other sectors. So you need to do that stuff. And the second thing, I very agree with Andrea. If I have to do a next startup, I'm going to do a product one and not a service one, because service, it's like, it's blood and sweat. So you have to work, like, so much to let people understand what you're doing. With product, it's difficult, but it's...
And you can do service, but it's easier to do things that people know, I would say. Yeah. It gives you probably more pleasure to do things that doesn't exist, but it's, like, 10 times more difficult, 100 times more difficult.
No, I hear you, And I mentioned that off air, I mentioned that there was going to be a bit of fun towards the end of the show. And what I like to call this part of the show is the flash round. Okay. And for everyone listening, the flash round is a couple of questions, two or three questions that I send out to the guys here. And then they turn the tables on me, and they're allowed to ask me one question. Yes, one question. That is it. Let's get on with it. The flash round is here. So I've got, I've listed on three questions for you guys. You can decide who goes, who answers two and who answers one, or you can both chip in and figure it out, right? So here it goes. What is your favorite marketing resource?
You answer.
LinkedIn. Ever and ever.
Brilliant. Okay.
98% roughly of our turnover comes from LinkedIn, so we love it.
Yeah. No, brilliant. What is your best PR tip?
Dinner.
PR tip, sorry?
Yeah. Public relations. Public relations.
Dinner. I'm very good at it.
Yeah.
Okay, taking cool. People out to dinner. That's my main job. You know, like, it's, I think that's my lunch and dinner. I'm very good at it, to take people outside, to talk to people. That's a thing that came from my mother. And she always told me, like, believe me, when you do, like, when you do call, when you do appointment, you talk to people, it's okay. But the real business, you do it at lunch and at dinner.
Yeah, building relationship.
Brilliant. Lastly, and I think you know the answer to this, patience first or failure first?
Failure first, I would say, for me.
I have a lot of patience, and Andrea too. So, but I say failure first.
Okay, brilliant. Good answers. Okay, so now I'm going to turn the tables let you guys ask me a question.
I'm very, very curious to know something, like...
If we are the best co-founder that you have ever interviewed.
I got asked that a few weeks ago. I was like, man, come on.
What's the best value that you take out of those conversations that you lead?
Like, the best
value for you.
Conversations on the podcast?
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, there's lots of nuggets of value that each and every podcast guest gives me. And not because it just gives me, but it gives my audience. So I don't want to say it's the best, but I find that co-founders or founders or executives that have a real purpose in life and also in their business are the ones that are making a real impact in society. And that's cool to see. You can see it coming across on the show. You can also see it happening day in, day out. You mentioned LinkedIn. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And you can also see them, how they manage themselves and also sort of manage their company. So I think that's the one thing. Have a very good and very strong and very powerful purpose. And then there's going to be value dropping off of that in every single direction once you start sort of moving forward in your world and in your ecosystem.
Thanks, that was brilliant.
Okay. Gentlemen, it's been amazing discussion. But before we leave, how can people, if they want to reach out to you, how can they reach out to you?
Email, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, WhatsApp, no, whatever. Andrea Severino on LinkedIn and Nicola Tardelli on LinkedIn. Definitely it's the best way. We're very active, or even by email, like andrea.nicola@ltvirtuoso.com. We would be very happy to exchange, to speak, and see if we can share some of our bad experience with you to help you avoiding those.
Brilliant. So yeah, anyone who wants to reach out, I'll also obviously include in the show notes and reach out to the guys and reach out to them for whatever reason you need to reach out to them. And lastly, I mentioned at the top of the show, my book is coming out. It's called The Mastermind Scaling Techniques for 2022. It's advice from top entrepreneurs and CEOs and how you can take your business forward and make it thrive in the new digital place. So if you'd like a copy, please drop me a note at richard@scaleupconsulting.co.uk. Also, why don't you, if you haven't already, go and follow us. So follow the podcast at www.scaleupconsulting.co.uk/media. Enter your details and you get this episode and other episodes into your inbox on a weekly basis. So that's for this week, and looking forward to our next episode.